Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Suggest you shut up and show more football.
Come on, come on. Figure. We've done that thing. Can we not knock it?
I am flabbergasted. I wouldn't even let him on the bus after the match. I get a taxi back to Manchester.
Again, please don't call me arrogant, because what I'm saying is true. I think I'm a special one.
When the seagulls follow the troll, it's because they sink sardines. Will be thrown into the sea. Thank you.
I understand what I'm trying to get at. Yes, he was a great player. Yes, he was a wonderful leader. But he wasn't a magician.
Well, take him out, son. I mean that. Take him.
Welcome to all of you, all over the world. And I'll be more specific about where in the world in just a moment. But thank you for joining us again on the Keys and Gray podcast. Okay. I'm Richard Keys, and muttering away in the background is my mate.
Oh, yeah, I am Andrew Mullen Gray. Yes, I am.
You are. Yes, you are.
I can
but
confirm
what's
that.
More interesting, arguably more interesting than the content of the podcast, is where in the world are you and how are you?
Me?
Yes. Well, there's no one else here.
Oh, right. Well, sorry, son. I thought you were giving me that quiz again. Where in the world are you? I
was No.
My clues.
Where are you?
Oh, great.
And how are you?
Well, I am about 1 mile away from you at the moment. I am in quarantine, in my final day of quarantine here in Doha. I will be released into captivity sometime tomorrow.
No. You won't be released into captivity. You'll be released from captivity. And obviously, you're going stir-crazy.
No. I'll be released into captivity because I'm coming out of here into lockdown.
Yes, you are. Yes, that's
so true. I'm in captivity again.
Yes, you timed it really well.
No, that's what I meant. I'm out of captivity into captivity. So very good. So it's really good.
It's not quite as bad as lockdown, but there are further restrictive restrictions which will apply in our part of the world from the weekend. You're absolutely right.
Correct.
Anyway, let's get back to what it is we're here for. Really enjoyed talking with Platy last week, David
very
Platt.
Good.
We got some terrific reaction. He told us some great stories. He painted a really vivid picture, I think, of life at Manchester City with Roberto Mancini. Those Aguero stories, Andy, I thought were sensational.
Yeah, very good.
As always, if you haven't heard Platy, then go back on the playlist and have a listen, particularly, obviously, if you're a Manchester City fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was a terrific insight into what life was like during that period of time, when the foundation stones went in, shall we say, under Mancini. Regular listeners will know that we spoke with Paul Stewart a couple of weeks back. Paul, of course, played for City, amongst others, Spurs and Liverpool, England as well. And he's one of the brave survivors that have come forward to speak in graphic and disturbing terms about the abuse that they suffered, Andy, when they were trying to make it in our sport. It really was a shameful episode in football history, and we're not going to let it go there.
No.
Real action, we believe, and I think you concur, Andy.
Yes, I do.
We believe, needs to be taken. Aside from that we talked about last week was a statue or a piece of sculpture, a wall, a plaque, something that marks the bravery of the survivors and draws a line in the sand. Well, we've started the ball rolling. I've spoken with Stewie this past week. He's on board. I speculate that the Daily Mirror might also be after conversations that Paul has had with them. And over the coming weeks, we'll be talking about how you, those of you who are listening, can actually help in this respect. Welcome to all, particularly if you've just found us. Having done so, if you enjoy what you're about to hear, please do tell your mates about it. Subscribe and follow us on whatever platform suits you, and you can follow and get in touch on Insta and Twitter at Keys and Grey Pod. I do this every week, Keys and A-N-D, Keys and Grey Pod. Over the weeks, we've been monitoring the numbers. They are rocketing, Andrew.
Really?
Each and every week, we give a shout out to a location. Yeah, I promise you, to a location where new listeners have popped up. This week, here we go. We wanted a quiz. I have a very successful, world famous football culture.
Right. Okay. That could be anywhere in the world. That could be anywhere.
This week in the Champions League. October is a great time to visit. October is a great time to visit.
Okay. That sounds like we're dealing with the Southern Hemisphere.
It wouldn't be unusual at that time of the year to find people in Lederhosen.
Germany.
I am the capital of Bavaria. I am Munich. Willkommen
Munich.
All our new listeners in Munich, in Germany.
Yes. Willkommen indeed. Yes. Danke. I will say danke to all those people in Munich who are listening. Danke, danke.
On that subject, what did you make this week of... We might only be a mile apart, but the communication, it's always the same, isn't it? It was perfect when we were at some 3,500 miles distance, a mile apart, and we're struggling. Anyway, we'll do our best this week. What did you make of the Champions League football, specifically Paris's win in Munich?
I thought it was an extraordinary game, watching it, Kiese. First of all, it was a game that was so open, it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe the scoreline at the end. Bayern Munich, when they woke up the next morning and went into training, must have still be sat there with heads on hands thinking, how on earth have we walked away from that game, having put that much into it, that many chances, opened up the defence time and time again, and we've come back and we've lost the game 3-2. Paris Saint-Germain must have been thinking, wow, thank goodness for a front lot that can exploit defences the way they can and can finish with such clinical ability. We know Pochettino, and I know that he will think if they play like that in the second leg, there's every chance, and I hate to say this, there's every chance that Bayern Munich won't be as wasteful as they were in the first game. They've got to defend better by Paris Saint-Germain, absolutely. But the threat's always there with Mbappe, with Neymar, and the form they were both in. But defensively, I thought they were so open. And but for Keylor Navas and wasteful finishing, they could have really lost that game. I always thought second half it started. I knew Bayern Munich were going to score. I just couldn't see Paris keeping them out. But there's always that counter attack. There's always that break with Mbappe. With the pace that he has, he'll destroy anybody. So I think Pochettino will know that his team have got to defend better next week. I don't know if Lewandowski is going to be fit. I don't know if Gnabry is going to be fit. If those two had been playing last night or on Wednesday, then I'm not so sure the scoreline would have stayed at 3-2, because I think Lewandowski would certainly have finished them off.
Yeah, so bearing in mind we've got a whole host of new listeners in Munich, when you say I hate to say this, I mean, on what basis is it that you hate to say it?
Well, only because I live in Qatar and they're sponsored by Paris, really. No, I mean, I'm a huge admirer. And I said that on the night. Bayern Munich were an amazing side on the night. We're wondering how on earth they haven't won. And I guarantee you, if you gave Hansi Flick the same performance next week, exactly the same performance, offensively, then I think he would grab you and say, thank you, I will take that, because I know my team will not be as wasteful as they were. And I don't know, as I say, we don't know if Lewandowski and Gnabry are going to be fit to play. And if they are, then this game is far from over, Richard. Even though Paris scored 3, it is far from over. I thought the other game...
Just one
other game,
little...
I mean, I thought the other games, I thought briefly, I thought Liverpool were awful. I don't know what happened to them. First half, that was as poor as I've ever seen from Liverpool in a big game in that first 45. A little better second half, when they're still in it, just. Chelsea, good result, but I expected them to beat Benfica. I don't expect any problems from them in that respect. I still think there's a bit for City to do. The threat from Dortmund is there. But City looked okay. Again, could have won by more. And they'd be disappointed they conceded the manner that they did. So slight favourites, but only slight favourites.
Equally, Andy, equally, just two things for me. One, most people listening to this, I think, will have listened to the same commentary source as you and I, which is the overseas commentary, which was led by Martin Tyler for us.
That's right.
With Alan Smith. The effects of VAR on everything that we watch these days, as far as football is concerned, for me has had an adverse impact. But what a shame that commentators now can't celebrate goals because they're unsure also. I mean, as Paris get their second, poor old Martin didn't quite know what to say and do.
No, I know.
It's a real pity that, and those of us who have listened to the overseas UEFA commentary will understand what I'm talking about. And with Manchester City, I mean, you say in terms of performance, yes, but in terms of incident, how on earth did they get out of that? Because Bellingham's goal is a good goal.
Oh, that was the most referee piece of refereeing I've seen for a long time, Jesus. I don't get
scandalous.
It.
Scandalous.
It's ridiculous. Bellingham does nothing wrong. His toe is pointed down. His boot is, the studs are not showing. Goalkeeper kicks him and then makes a meal of it. So, you know, his decision to blow his whistle was mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. Just let the damn thing go.
This is my problem. Well, I've got many problems with VAR.
Yeah, we all have, as you well know. Yeah.
We both have.
Yeah.
We share them.
Yeah.
But what I don't get is, if we're looking to deliver perfection, then for me, it doesn't matter whether the referee whistles or not. That's an irrelevance, or should be. The incident itself should be looked at on its merits, and decision should be goal, whether the whistle's gone or not. I mean, they tie us and themselves in knots with this nonsense about, well, the referee blew, so VAR couldn't intervene. Sorry, no, wrong.
No, that's,
of course
that
it can. If you're looking to get the decision correct,
yeah,
do it.
Did they actually think that Bellingham was going to miss it? I mean, trust me, think of the incident. Did they actually think the kid was actually going to miss it? So by blowing his whistle, it meant that the pressure was off and he just rolled in and emptied it. No, no. The kid was going to do exactly what he
nonsense.
Did, regardless of the whistle went or not. It was the most ridiculous decision.
Yeah.
Definitely won out of jail. Definitely won out of jail for City.
The referee, Octavian Savre, who was later caught on camera asking Erling Haaland for an autograph, asked him to sign one of his yellow cards. UEFA is set to reinforce its guidance to referees that they should not ask players for autographs. They always will. I would suggest to you the crime is getting caught.
Correct.
Don't get caught on camera.
Correct.
It's a far better idea to do it within the privacy of the dressing room
Correct.
Area, surely.
Exactly. I mean, that's just the two bad decisions that I've made that night.
upcoming, Matthew Lorenzo Productions.
Yeah.
A documentary on Manchester United, Andy.
Yeah.
From 68
right.
all the way through to 99. Eric Cantona is voicing.
Okay.
All sorts have contributed. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Giggs and Beckham, Schmeichel, Robson, as you would expect.
Wow.
But also, I'm really pleased to say, Tommy Docherty. Now, the reason I say that is that our guest this week played for the Doc.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been of the opinion that, look, we'll never know. But two things on Tommy Doc. I think Manchester United have tried to wipe him from history.
Maybe. Maybe. I hope not.
And
I
think
not.
Who do we talk about?
Yeah, no,
Manchester United, Busby, naturally.
No. Yeah.
Inevitably.
I mean, that's a gap.
And Ferguson. And for 6 years, Fergie really struggled.
Yeah.
Why do we not talk about Tommy Doc? Given the same time, I think Doc would have delivered what Fergie did. And I think that's what gnawed away at Tommy for many, many years after he left the football club. In circumstances that today we wouldn't blink an eye at. But obviously then you fall in love with the physio's wife. You're celebrating at a cup final dinner and the story breaks.
Yep.
48 hours later, you're sacked by Louis Edwards. Wouldn't happen now, would it? By the way, you go on to marry the woman and you live the rest of your life with her, Mary.
And live, that's exactly right. Live the rest of your life with her, yeah.
So so that's very timely that I read that today because our guest and a number of different ways that you could introduce him. One is that there's a station named after him in London.
Is there?
Yeah, I'll come back to that later. Well, it's not necessarily named after him. It shares the same
name. Well, I was going to say. Yeah, really? A station? Yeah. Well, I'm racking my brain here. Wow.
He was, well, what's his name? Don't yet mention it. What's his name? That's the name of the station.
I'm not mentioning it. Is it really? I've never heard of that.
I don't think he had enough time doing what he did. He was the original Merlin. Manchester City fans won't forgive us because, of course, David Silva took on that mantle. But he was the original Merlin. He was, over a century of matches for Manchester United, absolutely sensational. The name of that railway station, Andy, is Gordon Hill in the London borough of Enfield.
Never heard of it.
And Gordon Hill joins us from the States. Gordon, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Richard. Thank you very much. And lovely to say hello to you two guys. I haven't seen you for a long time.
The last time I saw you, Gordon, it was your heels running away from me. That was the only thing I can remember.
Well, I'm on an elliptical machine at the moment, Andy, and I've been here for about 45, 50 minutes, and I haven't gone anywhere. It's like sitting on the M25, going nowhere.
By the way, Gordon, did you know this railway station existed?
Yes, I did. It was brought to my light when I was at Millwall. And I said,
all those years ago?
Yeah, I thought someone's taken the mickey. And then someone sent me a picture. And I just went, oh my gosh. And it's in Enfield as well, which I played around that area, but I'm sure it's not named after me.
I would claim it. It's 9 miles and 69 chains, whatever that is, down the line from London's King's Cross on the Hartford Loop line. It's in travel card zone 5, Andy, just in case you're actually interested. And it's a line operated by Great Northern.
I knew you'd know exactly where it was and all the goes with it and explaining it. Well done. Excellent stuff.
Richard, that's absolutely fantastic information. I'll stick it away and put it in my file.
Yeah, and I'll forget it immediately, Gordon. I'm just going to forget it as soon as I can.
It's lovely, though, isn't
it? Now, you two boys talking have two things in common, and neither of you will yet know what those two things are. So let me explain.
Okay.
One, Gordon, meet Andy, who's sitting in Qatar in lockdown, having just undergone replacement knee surgery. Do you two wish to talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. Ooh. If he wishes. How long ago was it, Andy?
6 weeks, 7 weeks, Gordon.
Well, I've had mine for a year, and I'm playing again, kicking the ball again, and I'm on the elliptical machine doing an hour a day. So
love
I've had it 40 years.
Because I heard...
You'll love it.
I heard
honest,
so many
you
horror
really
stories, Gordon. So
no,
please.
No.
Yeah.
Please. You have to take a regime, and that is to keep on moving it, working it, and build up. Don't expect it to do it on its own. It will not.
No, I'm doing that. I'm doing that. Well, that's good news. I'm delighted.
I'm delighted.
No.
I'm glad we've called you.
Brilliant. Well, I wish I'd had it 20 years ago, but the technology wasn't. And I think you'll find we'll ask about it. It's only a 10-year one. Now it's a 20 to 25 years.
That's
the first thing. The second thing you two have in common is you both signed professional football contracts with a club having no idea what they were going to pay you. Did you know that?
That's incredible. That's very, very incredible. But I think for that day, I think a lot of players did that because they just wanted to play. They loved the game so much.
Yeah, correct. Correct, Gordon.
Yes, but Gordon, you signed for Manchester United and had not a clue what you'd signed for.
No. I mean, when you're on 60 quid at Millwall and you go to Man United, the train ticket costs more. So when you get to Old Trafford and you're sitting with the likes of Sir Matt Busby, Louis Edwards, Tommy Docherty, Frank Blundstone, the great Jimmy Murphy and Tommy Cavana, it's very difficult sitting there on your own as a 19-year-old boy to say, no, I'm going home. Very difficult.
Yeah.
You know, but
and I
forgot.
I think there's where the resemblance ends, Gordon, because you did that with all the pressure of those famous names and that famous club.
Yeah.
I signed my contract with the greatest of respect, signing for Dundee United with wee Jim McLean across the table glowering at me. So there was a slight difference.
Yes. the funny thing about it was when I walked out and I was standing at the Piccadilly for that night, I remembered going down the stairs. I went, I better ask this question. So I walk up and I knock on the door and they open the door. They've got a bottle of champagne and Louis Edwards and that have got a cigar. And I said, excuse me, I don't want to bother you. I said, but could you tell me how much am I going to get? And the doc turned around and the doc would and turned around and said, don't worry, son, we'll look after you. And from that day, I'm still scratching my head.
Wow. Brilliant. Fantastic story.
Well, you can't really get away from somebody that took the Scotland squad, Aston Villa, Andy, as you know, Chelsea.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was a true football man, through and through.
Now, you see, if you don't mind, Gordon, I know you've done this recently. I know you've spoken to Manchester United podcast as well, and I've listened back to a lot of it today, and it's fascinating. But a number of places, they didn't take you. Here's one. I got to know the Doc really well when he'd left Manchester United. He worked for us at Piccadilly.
Right.
And I loved every piece of him. He was generous.
Yes.
He was thoughtful. He was giving. He was caring. And I've always been of the opinion working with him was special.
Yes.
I don't know if I could have worked for him. And there's a difference.
Yes.
Would I be right?
Yeah, you would be there. I mean, we've had players that have come in to the club, and Andy was rightfully so. It's the steeped in tradition and quality and class at the very top when you've got people like Willie Morgan and other players talking out. I don't think that is right that they can have a go at him like that. He had to do a job. He had to get rid of.
Yeah.
The 68 squad that won the European, they were fantastic. He had to change it. Otherwise, the ghosts would have been there and it would have been very hard.
Yeah.
Very hard indeed for him to chase it until the likes of Bobby, thank you, Dennis, bye-bye, Willie, bye-bye. You know, what promises he makes was what he made. But you missed out one word. What does he take? And what he takes the success of what he wants and puts it on the field. And he's done that with us.
Yeah.
And he built.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, it's really hard because I know Willie well, and you know, I like Willie and Dennis.
Love
I love to bits, and you know,
but
everybody's got their own story about. I mean, putting Dennis out in that number four jersey just to let him know that time was up, son. You know,
you've
got to go. You know, all those things, but you're right with Bestie. You know, they were desperate to get him going, weren't they? But Tom knew. It's over, and we've got to move forward. And the other thing, Gordon, I always think with him, and I just said it to Andy, if he'd been given time, do you think we would ever have heard of Alex Ferguson?
No, I don't. It's not being rotten to Alex Ferguson. What he achieved was magnificent. What he'd done for the club was magnificent. But the Doc was special as well, because the Doc, when we played against the European teams, and Andy knows this well, it doesn't matter whether you're Aston Villa, Liverpool or Man United. You want to bring the cup back to England. Doesn't matter where.
Mm.
And the pride and the adrenaline to do that brings you out as a team, as a player. And I think if you look at what he wanted, he had to get rid of before he bought in. And we've got to remember as well, Sir Matt was still at the back on the back scenes.
Yeah, he was.
So,
yeah.
So you've got to look at that. And I used to sit with Sir Matt, talk with Sir Matt. He's a football man as well. But I think both of them at the end of the day understood what he had to do. And it's like, well, you can't get rid of Sir Matt. Unfortunately, it happened. And the same way as you talk about Dave Sexton with me. Oh, great man. But accidents, and it happened. And I was on my way. So football has a funny way of putting you up there and hitting you hard on the way down. And you've got to be able to face it, especially now with the media and the exposure they get. But I look at the drive. I don't see the drive. I see it's very money orientated now. And it's not like me and Andy where we couldn't shake together a shilling.
Just about, you know. I'm just thinking, Gordon,
but that,
do you think,
go on, Andy.
Do you think in his way that maybe Tommy was laying the foundations almost of modern Manchester United? You know, you two flying wingers, two front men, and very much the way Sir Alex did. He was building a team like that. Do you think that almost became the blueprint for Manchester United and what Manchester United fans wanted to see?
Well, I agree with you totally. But let's go back before that. I think Sir Matt put that out there as well.
Yes, he did. You're right.
He had some great wingers, great defenders, great midfielders. Weren't the best, but they played together. And what the Doc got was all of us. And you guys know we only played with 11 players and one sub. So you had to stay there.
Did you? I actually, Gordon, I have to say, I didn't know that. My dad has told me about that period of time many occasions. But no,
you know fine well. Get off.
I really didn't know that, no.
Ignore them, brother. It's funny enough. Fucking nonsense.
I mean... You might have got a game if there was 24, Rich, but you ain't getting a game in the 12.
So what was it, Gordon? I mean, I know, look, the king of the Cockneys, Merlin, many things, names that accompanied you, and a fantastic century of games, two in the semi-final, as we've just heard. But what, you were frightened, weren't you? You were frightened of the stage.
Yes, very much.
And yet Doc managed to get out of you something really special. How?
Well, Benny Fenton said, I just want to let this kid play because he's got so much potential. If I try to harness it, it might not work. So when I went to United, BD said, just go out and do what you did against us. when we played in the second division. Go out and beat yourself. Now, that was reflected on by the boys as being an arrogant Londoner. And it wasn't, Richard, to this very day. It wasn't. I wasn't confident, but when I was on the field, man, I wanted it. And that confidence came out. And when I scored one, I wanted two. If I could score two, I wanted three. And I also wanted to create for centre forwards like Andy, Stuart Pearson, Jimmy Greenoff.
Yeah.
I mean, so it was a case of you couldn't say, well, we're changing the sub at 72 minutes. You had nothing to come on. And it was, but once you disarray that system, Weedy came on and Dave McCreary was fantastic. But coming on, not playing the whole game. And each team has had it. Liverpool, David Fairclough. So,
yeah.
So it goes through that if you had an injury on a Saturday, you had treatment for the Sunday, you was considered for the team midweek or on the Saturday. But they wanted you, they put the emphasis on getting you fit for that game. You had to get fit for that game. Because otherwise, he's pulling up young, and he was very good with young players, Tommy was. He'd bring up young players to come with the squad to get to know, to get to experience, and to see the way the game was played. And I don't think it changed with Sir Matt Busby, Brian Kidd, Sammy McElroy. They came through the system.
So yeah, they did.
It's you know, Jimmy Nicol, Arthur Orbiston, fabulous players for the club.
But what did Doc have, Gordon, that gave, I mean, it was a fabulous football team. What was it that he had that gave you guys a desire and a belief to want to play for him?
A suitcase full of cash. No. that's right. Hey, that's a miss, Richard, because we're still waiting for our cup final winning bonus from him. It'd be hard to get it now.
Well, it would, but he wasn't there long enough after the game, for goodness sake. He was gone within 48 hours.
No. For two years, the situation had developed, and we didn't realise when we were standing at Mottram Hall. Laurie would come and tuck us in to make sure we're up. Didn't realise the boss was gone. And for 2 years, may God be my witness, we knew nothing at all. And it was like unbelievable when it broke. Sammy and myself in Ibiza having a quick break. Could not believe it when the Daily Taper read it out. Doc sacked. Affair with Mary Brown. You're kidding me, Sammy. No, Gordy, he said, I'm telling you. He said, the club will not stand for it. They are tradition. The club will sack it.
Wow.
And guess what? We get back to Old Trafford, and the dock has been gone. Let's all make sure.
So,
and,
wow. I just need to run this part just one more time, Gordon. So Laurie Brown was tucking the boys into bed.
Yeah.
Whilst Tommy was getting into his bed.
Well, it might have been, and it weren't a flower bed. I don't know about that. You know.
Look, we've spoken to so many people, Gordon, and had real fun with the podcast. Thank you for spending time with us on the bike. You've done really well. That's the good news, Andy. Are you finished?
Bad news. I've got a person about 5 yards in front of him, and I still never overtook him. I'm pissed.
Oh, good lad.
Not happy with that.
Why is Merlin? Why did Merlin find the United States more palatable?
Yes.
Than he did England.
It's a very good question, actually, Rich. I develop a lot of young players, and to put back into the game, I get hold of these players and I let them express themselves and basically exactly what the doc did, and what I was taught all the way through was to, you know, let them play. let them play, teach them the basics, you know, and, you know, the three words we use is CPM, control, pass, and move. You learn that, you go in there in the world and play. And the Americans are very, very into it, but they're too serious at times. They've got to start lightening up. And I see that. I've been here a few years now, and I live in Seattle, which is on the West Coast. Oh, and lovely. It's just like lovely. England. It's just like England. I'm not too far from the mountains. And it's the weather is exactly the same. So, Andy, I want to ask you a question, please. Do you feel concerned when you look at all the players, like, you know, that have passed away? And because you was a fantastic centre forward, you know, and I'd love to put balls on your head. But if you think about it, with this dementia and everything else that's going around at the moment, it must be a concern to, like myself, who didn't head that much, but yourself, that was a really predominant header. Does that worry you sometimes?
Yeah. Listen, at my age, and I'm 65 now, Gordon, so I'm a couple of years younger than you.
Yes,
so
yeah,
I'm 65.
I was 67.
I mean, you're right, I did head a lot of balls. So,
yeah, you did.
There's always concern. You've got to be concerned. You've got to be a little concerned.
Yeah.
At the moment, things feel good. Things feel fine.
Great, I'm so pleased.
So I take a lot, but I get concerned because too many of our you know,
generation
players
yeah.
that we played with, yeah, are passing away too. And lots of them didn't hit the football court. Lots of them.
No,
you know,
I know.
I don't remember.
I mean, it's scary.
I don't remember Peter Lorimer being header of the football. You know,
I don't remember
little Nobby Stiles being header of football.
Yeah.
Nobby at United wasn't a great header. Martin Peters wasn't a great header of a football. So I don't know. So yes, I'm concerned, obviously, but at the moment things are okay with me at the moment.
But I don't look at it like that. I look at it like that we didn't head a lot of balls, but in the training we did head a lot of balls. That's where they're saying that the damage is being done in your training sessions. In games, one header would be, but I wanted to ask that because, as I said, we lose friends every day and it's sad. You know,
yeah, we do.
It is desperately so.
It is life, and it's nice to see that the FA are now trying to do something which is way should have been done years and years and years ago. And the
long overdue, and the
PFA. Who had really, you know, Gordon Taylor, and you and I know Gordon, and I know him very. I'm ashamed, Gordon, that you didn't pick it up earlier and didn't do it because you didn't think of the welfare of the players. Now, with all the money in the game, you should be loading it into making sure that people have the players that have performed and put you in your position have really got a lot to be thankful for.
I have to say, Gordon, I think that he would himself feel that same way. I think it's...
Yeah.
I don't know. I have spoken to him on a number of occasions about many different things down the years, but I think that's an area that they missed and they could and should have done a whole lot more with. Merlin, the King of the Cockneys, Gordon Hill, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very
look
much.
Look after yourself over there.
Thank you. And Andy, look after your knee. And Richie, be safe, okay? And be careful.
Look, you too, my friend. Look after yourself, Gordon.
Thank
See you.
You,
buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers, pal.
Bye. Gordon Hill. What a boy, Andy. And it's funny that, isn't it? On the face of it, those that remember that era well, you'd look at Gordon and you'd say, what a confident boy. And yet, quite the opposite.
Yeah.
And that's the case with so many players, isn't it?
Hey, you're talking to one.
Well, am I?
Yes. When I was a kid, absolutely. And when I was growing up, being a footballer, confidence, no. I always wondered, even when I was scoring goals at the rate I did, I would always go in the dressing room and wonder, am I playing this week or not? Yeah, honestly, had I done enough? And, I wasn't the most confident person. It helped with age. But no, I never, ever, ever thought, yeah, I'm on the side, no problem, I don't care. No. I was a bit like Gordon in that respect as well. It's another thing we had in common.
So when do you think that changed, if ever, that you started to believe that you were good at what you did?
Probably when I got transferred from Villa to Wolves for the amount that I did, for the record fee. I mean, I couldn't not I couldn't ignore the fact that somebody had paid an awful lot of money then for my services. So I probably realized then at Wolves that I would be playing at Wolves because they spent so much money on me that, you know, I wasn't not going to be in the team initially. But I always felt that if I didn't perform, then that wouldn't guarantee me a place. I never took it for granted that I'd always be in the team, put it that way.
But Gordon would talk about, and has elsewhere, about lying in the bath at Manchester United and hearing footsteps of supporters. I mean, a bit like Highbury, I suppose. The dressing rooms were so close to the outer rim of the stadium, of, you know, windows open, and you can hear supporters and be concerned then about going and playing in front of them and performing. Were you like that?
Oh, no, I wasn't like that. No, I always, I mean, I enjoyed the supporters. I loved that. I had a really good relationship with supporters at most clubs I played at, if not all. Yeah, I mean, I know I loved that. I loved the fact that supporters were there and with you or not. Well, mainly majority with you. So it was a case of, excuse that doorbell, Richard, as we just finish off here.
Time to go, time, Andy, because I think your lockdown meal has arrived, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's my quarantine meal just been picked up at the door.
Well, listen, you go and get your meal and I'll just finish this up, okay? Yeah. Hope you've enjoyed it. We look forward to spending time with you next week. Don't forget, tell your mates now you found us, if indeed that is the case, where you found us. You can get in touch with us on Insta and Twitter at Keys and Grey Pod, Keys, A-N-D, Grey Pod. And I hope whatever it is you're eating tonight, Andy, is both palatable and enjoyable. And I look forward to spending time with you next week. I literally will see you
then. Yes. All right, pal.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.